House, please come to order. Will the members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
Forty present.
Our chaplain today is Pastor Hunt of the Resurrection Lutheran Church. The house, please rise for prayer.
Let us pray. Gracious God, who comes to dwell in our poor and shabby human lives, lifting them above animal passions and greed, we ask you to enlighten us with the lights of love and joy and peace. Assist each and all of us today, O Lord, in putting right before narrow interests, in placing others before self, in putting things of the spirit before things of the body, in reaching for attainment of noble ends above the enjoyment of present pleasure, in holding the principles above reputation, and putting you before all else. We request with divine grace in the name of the model man, Jesus of Galilee.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread in the journal.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please certify us to the correctness of the daily journal.
As chief clerk, I certify us to the correction of the journal for the correctness of the journal for the 24th day in House Supplement Number 7.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 24th day and for House Supplement Number 7.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This morning it gives me great pleasure in Gallery B to introduce a good friend and a constituent from Fairbanks, Candace Magnuson.
Representative Swanson.
And Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A this morning we have two distinguished guests from Fairbanks, the Interior. Mayor John Carlson. And a petrochemical engineer from and a teacher from the University of Alaska, Bob Dempsey.
Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, also in Gallery A is Bruce Boyd, who is from Fairbanks and was a candidate for the legislature the last in 1976.
Are there further guests for introduction? Are there any messages from the governor?
Dear Mr. Speaker, this letter is an amendment to my letter dated January 23, 1978. Please add to the list of commissioners to be confirmed Donald Harris, Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I am sorry this was inadvertently left off the previous list sent to you. Thank you for your additional consideration in this matter. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following, and it is transmitted herewith for consideration. Senate Bill Number 372 by Willis and Huber. An act extending provisions of law governing the sale, repurchase, and disposition of proceeds of the sale of tax-foreclosed real property to home rule municipalities.
For the Committee on Community and Regional Affairs.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 551, providing an exemption for senior citizens from payment for land leased from the state. Under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 551 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Nackat, Kelly, and Lathine. Mr. McKinnon has no recommendation. House Bill 551 has a further referral to finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions and citations?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, House bills.
House Bill 723 by Miller, Anderson, Carpenter, Cotton, Duncan, Eliason, McKinnon, Malone, Meekins, Parr, and Phillips. An act relating to retirement.
Referred to Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 724 by Cooper. An act relating to independent contractors of the state.
Labor and Management and Commerce.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of the calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on the calendar.
House Bill Number 611 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Office of the Governor, Telecommunications, and providing for an effective date. The Select Committee on Telecommunications has had House Bill 611 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Bradley, Snyder, and NACAC. Mr. Phillips has no recommendation. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 611 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Greening, Duncan, Buchholz, Meekins, Guy, and Cooper. Signing do not pass, Haugen, Rode, and Freeman. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 611 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk please read House Bill 611 in third reading.
House Bill Number 611 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Office of the Governor, Telecommunications, and providing for an effective date.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the bill before us in part makes up for a legislative oversight last year. That was, you'll remember we passed H.J.R. 32, which requested the Governor's Office of Telecommunications to do certain things and the Alaska Public Utilities Commission to do certain things with regard to instituting new proceedings involving intrastate telephone rates and tariff hearings. And there was a fiscal note attached to that resolution, which was approved by this House rather overwhelmingly along with the resolution. The fiscal note was on the desk of the members of the Senate when it was approved there by a rather substantial margin. But because of a misunderstanding, perhaps mine and perhaps also other members of the leadership in both houses, it did not end up, the fiscal note funds did not end up getting included in the budget. Now, that fiscal note was for $100,000, and the amount asked here is $235,000. That's partly because something not then known for sure came about, and that is the filing of a permanent rate case before the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. And that permanent rate case is probably the largest single case, or easily the largest single case to come before the commission since it was established from its separation from the Alaska Public Services Commission by a prior legislature. There are members of the Finance Committee here who have some breakdown in detail about the allocation of funds, if there are any questions with regard to that. I think that the bill is very necessary, and I urge its passage.
For further discussion, Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, the Finance Committee looked into this in a little more detail in regards to the financial aspects. The total request, of course, is $235,000, and the case is $18 million, or $50,000 per day, if the increase is granted. And the state share of that would be about $1.6 million, or $4,000 per day. So with that in mind, even if we don't win the case, which I hope we will and I think we will, but just 1 month's delay is equal to around $130,000 to $140,000. And this total appropriation, of course, is $235,000. $140,000 is the amount that we've expended already, so we're talking about a very cost-effective expenditure on the state's part. So I think in that regard, even if we lose, it's a good effort. It's a good thing to make a strong effort, and even if we only delay it a couple of months, it will save quite a substantial amount of money.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 611 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 11 Nays.
So House Bill 611 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 611 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Resolution Number 17 by Anderson, Guy, Akers, and Schaefer, relating to the size of food stamp allotments in the rural areas of Alaska. The Committee on Hess has had House Resolution 17 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Bennett, Chatterton, Osi, Cotton, Phillips, and Parr. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Question is, shall House Resolution Number 17 pass the House? Is there discussion? Representative Parr?
Very briefly, Mr. Speaker, what the stated in the resolution under the whereas is are the facts. In determining food stamp allotments, the federal government uses only the figures out of Anchorage, and I think we're all aware that those are not representative of the higher costs of living in the rural areas. We're simply asking them to make a more specific determination there and to adjust the food stamp allotments accordingly.
Further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Resolution 17 pass the House? Take a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 40 Nays.
So House Resolution Number 17 passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 68 by Ziegler, Mielen, Poland, and Ray, relating to Alaskan participation in the Western States Legislative Forestry Task Force. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 68 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Snyder, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Snyder, Miller, Akers, Smith, Eliason, Bennett, and Urien. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 68 pass the House? Take a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. There's two votes that are not registering. Clerk, please void the roll call. The question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 68 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please take the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please lock the roll.
Yeas, 40 Nays.
So Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 68 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 36 by Ziegler, Krutula, Mielen, Poland, Ray, Coletta, and Orsini, relating to land allocation in the Tungus National Forest. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Joint Resolution 36 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Snyder, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Snyder, Akers, Smith, Eliason, Bennett, and Urien. Mr. Miller has no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution number 36 pass the House? Excuse me. There are no amendments to the resolution, and it must be advanced to third reading. Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that SJR 36 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk please read Senate Joint Resolution 36 in third reading.
Senate Joint Resolution number 36 by Ziegler, Kurtula, Meeland, Poland, Ray, Coletta, and Orsini, relating to land allocation in the Tungus National Forest.
Question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution number 36 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay.
So Senate Joint Resolution number 36 has passed the House. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Osteen.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'd like to have my name removed from as co-sponsor of Bill 557, that's on employment preference for local hire.
No objection. The journal please reflect that Mr. Osi is withdrawing his co-sponsorship of the bill. Under unfinished business generally, we have received now apparently all the names that the governor will be submitting to the legislature for confirmation. And for the information of the body, and particularly the chairman, tomorrow we'll be asking the various committees to review and make recommendations on those appointments which require legislative confirmation, and also to review those which the governor submitted to the legislature which do not require legislative confirmation, and appreciate any comments that the committee chairman have as to the methods by which they want to conduct those reviews. In some cases, I presume that joint hearings or joint committee review might be in order, and those assignments be made tomorrow. Representative Anderson?
May we revert to introduction of guests, Mr. Speaker?
Hearing no objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests.
I have a constituent from NACNIC, Mr. Dan O'Hara.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Swanson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to add a little bit to Representative Cooper's guest this morning, Bruce Boyd from Fairbanks. I'd like to say that Bruce is one of the is a member of the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce that is the agriculture representative of almost the entire interior of Alaska, and has done a tremendous amount of work in that field.
Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Are there any special orders? Representative Byrne?
Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to respond to some remarks made on the floor yesterday by Mr. Bradley?
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday, Mr. Bradley introduced a bill which he believes and he claims will be a substitute for the Homestead Initiative. And frankly, I find his claims to be quite outrageous. It just won't work. There's just no way under the law that his bill comes close to satisfying what the voters have said they wanted. Actually, his bill is, in my opinion, just another one of those lousy home site, hippie home site bills we passed last year. Just another attempt, and there'll be many of them in the future, I'm sure, to block the Homestead Initiative. Now, the voters have said in a very loud and clear voice that they want the question of the homestead land to be put on the ballot in November of this year. And I think 22,000 of them or more have said that's what they want. And I can't understand how or why a statewide candidate would fly in the face of these voters, or why Mr. Bradley would say that they were gluttonous voters, and that's what he said on the floor of this House, just because the voters want 40 acres of land to be their own, something they can love. It's unbelievable that he would say that, but he not only said it, but I think he might even believe it. Now, actually, his new home site bill is just another one of these phony hippie home site bills. Legally, it can't replace the initiative, and it's too little and it's too late. And if you take a pencil and figure out what he's saying in there, he'll move out in 250 years, and that's no exaggeration. His bill would move land out in 250 years that the Homestead Initiative will move out in the first year. That's the comparison of it. And then his bill also would require that all the land be used for homes, that you couldn't use the land for agriculture, you couldn't use it for your own personal hunting ground, you couldn't use it for your playground or anything else. You have to use it just for building a home on it. So there isn't any comparison between the bills, and I don't know how in the world he could even think for a moment that the two bills would be comparative. Now, for 20 years, the governor and the legislature has played with this question about what are we going to do with the land? And I'd say played because that's what they've really done with it. There's just been no action on it. They've tried to make land available, and some they made some efforts, I'll say that, so that the average Alaskan, the average working person could get some land. But actually nothing's taken place in 20 years. Very little land has moved out into private ownership. So the way the situation stacks up now is that because the governor and because the legislature have failed so miserably to accomplish the goal, that it looks to me as if it's totally out of the hands of the governor and the legislature now anyhow. It's in the hands of the people. The people have decided that they're going to put it on the ballot, and that's where we are today. Now, I should like to acknowledge Mr. Freeman from Ketchikan that he in fact is the father of the original hippie home site bill. And I think that his intentions were good. We passed it a year ago. For his information, in case he doesn't know it, there hasn't been one single acre of that land moved into private ownership yet. That's been a whole year. And that speaks for the governor. That's the way he feels about private ownership of land, that not one acre has moved into it, you know, into private ownership. And now the Division of Lands comes up and tells us that they can't find enough land available, suitable land in the state, to even make that hippie home site bill work. That's what they've said. They've said it several times. So how in the world do you expect, you know, that they're going to do anything better than that if they can't even find a few thousand acres of land for the hippie home site bill? You know, they're not going to do anything. That's the whole philosophy of the administration at the present time, is not to move land into private ownership. That's why we went to the effort to get this Homestead Initiative together. But then there's Mr. Bradley. Now, undaunted by all this, you know, he comes by with the son of the hippie home site bill. You know? So I have to give him credit. He tries hard. But there, you know, there go the father and son down the trail together. And I must say that they're nice people, but as regards land, they sure don't show me anything at all. But you know that the real question before us is whether we, as a legislature, are going to do anything. You know, whether we want to see a Western capitalist nation grow and develop, whether we want America to become a great country, or whether we're just going to sit back and go socialist and communist. You know, let me remind you, Mr. Speaker, that Alaska is very similar to the socialist and communist countries in this world in land ownership, because over 99% of the land up here is owned by the government, by federal government, by state government, or by local government, which is a real crying shame. That's anti-American. You know, American means that private ownership. And what we have here in Alaska today is really a communist land state. The government owns everything. The government owns the means of production. That's what communism means. And we as legislature are sitting here, and we're condoning that, you see. And the governor, who could move millions of acres of private of land into private ownership instantly under the laws that are on the books today, he's not doing it either. You know, so nothing's getting done. And that's why we came up with this homestead initiative. But we could be a great state if we just get moving. What we're doing here in Alaska is we're destroying private enterprise, we're destroying private initiative, we're discouraging people from coming to Alaska, we're discouraging the people from staying in Alaska who are here because they can't get any private land, and we're wiping out agriculture because there's no farmer in the world who wants to farm land. And that's hard work because I was a farmer and I know. But there's no farmer in the world who wants to farm land unless he's going to, unless he could make some more money at it than he could by selling it off for lots. And what we're doing now is the farmers are selling their land for housing developments. They don't want to farm. I can't blame them. And then one last point I'd like to make, which I think is really something we should think about. You know, I introduced a bill here a couple of weeks ago on that directing the governor to sue the federal government to make sure that we were able to have our rights under the Statehood Act, under these D2 land questions, before anybody else. And I'll have to speak to that at a later time, but what I want to do is make a comparison here that we are, you know, how in the world can we complain about the federal government locking up 100 million acres of land, you know, when we're locking up 100 million acres ourselves? We're locking up the exact same amount of land, 100 million acres, which is bigger than the whole state of California, that we, the state, own, you know. We're locking that up, and yet we're complaining because Washington wants to lock up 100 million acres, half of what they have. We're locking up 99% of what we have. Doesn't make any sense. No, I think, Mr. Speaker, that the people have called for the question to be placed on the ballot, and we legislators had darn well better listen to what the voters have to say. Thank you.
Representative Freeman. House, please stand back to order. Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, in interest of a cooling off moment, why could we revert to the introduction of guests?
Hearing no objection, we'll revert to the introduction of guests. Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, we have a very charming and fair young lady from Anchorage, Paula Easley.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, could we turn to special orders, please?
Are there any further guests for introduction? If not, we'll continue with the regular order of business. We're under special orders. Representative Brown.
Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to talk about our ratings?
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, it's been brought to my attention by, among other people, the editorial writer of the Fairbanks Daily Newsminer, that our ratings aren't very well, doing very well, and haven't been in the television over the last year and a half. And this has also been pointed out to me in polls and statistics that are available to the Telecommunications Committee, both informal ones and rather rigorous statistical analyses done in Anchorage. And Mr. Speaker, considering the interest of people talking under special orders in an even-numbered year, I would think that people ought to start rehearsing their speeches under special orders. And, you know, I could give some advice with regard to makeup. Mr. Carpenter and I worked in television a bit, and we could provide each of our respective caucuses with whatever aid they may need in order to improve our ratings. But as it's standing, Mr. Speaker, we're never going to make it with the bionic woman and Margie Bunker.
Representative Nakak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to speak on music and acute fox?
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Nakak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, this is basically a riddle and kind of a poem, I suppose. It's to Mrs. Fadalati. Your music is loud, clear, and alive, and joint music is melodious. As Kikidi said, I've got the music in me. Joe asks you to ring his bell, as the chorus can ring. The fox is cute. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any more special orders? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to make a comment or two about land?
Without hearing no objection, you have the floor, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I talked to my young colleague in this Land Act, and he decided that it was better that he should cool off a little, and maybe I should say a word or two. I really didn't want to argue with Dr. Byrne because, in spite of his effort, I know that he means well. And I have said before that I commend him for his effort to get some land out to the public, but the net effect of what he's doing, is proposing to do, is, I have to say, is a bit of a fraud, not intentional, but a fraud nonetheless on the people of the state. I'm not going to get into that too far, but Dr. Byrne mentioned the fact that, you know, that the state had all this land and it wasn't turning loose of it. And the matter of fact is the state doesn't have its land yet. He made some rather snide remarks to the hippie homestead bill in which he said that, you know, nothing had been done. And when we passed that act, the Division of Land said that the best they could do, it would take them 12 to 18 months to come up with a set of regulations, get a program set up and going. And I want to remind you that less than 12 months have gone by. They already have a set of proposed regulations. They have some land surveyed, and they're making a start. I think that the Division of Lands is making a reasonable effort under the constraints that are placed on them by the language that was in the bill we passed last year. And I think Mr. Bradley and I have made an honest attempt and an effort to correct some of the inadequacies of the bill. And, you know, there's it's one thing to come up with a proposal that sounds good. It's something else to come up with something that's practical and it has a chance to, you know, to really get something done. And I think that's what we're attempting to do. But I've mentioned this to Dr. Byrne before. As far as the proposal that he has, if you use southeastern Alaska as an example, and I'm well aware that southeastern Alaska isn't all of Alaska, but you heard me some time ago on this floor complaining about the state selection of land from the Forest Service and the small amount of land that we were going to have available to us, the amount that was set aside for recreation areas and the amount that would actually be left for human habitation, and it was a very small acreage. But, you know, if you use the proposal that my colleague from Anchorage has come up with and use a little simple arithmetic, You can see that it won't work, especially in this part of the country. You know, if you take, just to use round figures, and you say you have 50,000 people in southeastern Alaska, you give each one of them 40 acres of land, you come up with, round figure, about 2 million acres. You see, you know, we don't have 2 million acres available. It isn't here. It's a national forest. There's no way you're going to get it. So we say, well, maybe we don't, all of 50,000 wouldn't qualify. Let's cut it in half. Okay, if only half of them, 50% of them, qualify, then you would only need 1 million acres of land. We don't have 1 million acres of land. 25%, you're down to 500,000 acres of land. We don't have 500,000 acres of land. And so from a practical standpoint, again, as I said before, I commend Dr. Byrne for what he's doing, but it's not practical for this part of the country. It's not practical for a lot of parts of the state. And I'm afraid that what you're going to happen, you know, if you come up with a program like this, what in the end, what you're going to end up with is a lot of bitter and disappointed people. You know, if he can make it fly and the land's available, I don't object to it. I've always said, as far as the home sites was concerned, I don't want one of them. I had one years ago, and I knew the sweat and blood that went into it, and I never want to try it again. But if Dr. Burns' bill was to, you know, initiative becomes law and the land was available, man, I'm going to go somewhere and apply for my 160 acres. But I don't think that's the best interest of the state. We can find an orderly way to do it. We can find people that need the land, people that qualify, people that want it, and people that would appreciate it. And, you know, when you come right down to it, if I have to make a choice between giving 8 people 5 acres apiece or one guy 40 and the other 7 nothing, I think it's better to each one of them have their 5 acres. After all, the land of this state belongs to all of the people, and everybody should have a chance to share in it. So I know Dr. Byrne has a lot of fun. You know, he gives me a bad time about this occasionally, and I appreciate it. No hard feelings, but I just don't think that the way he's chosen is the right way to go. And I'm trying to do something practical. I think that's what Mr. Bradley and I had in mind. And if it looks like a father and son act, it's not. I don't think it's all that bad. I've had mine, and if people his age, I think, are entitled to have 5 acres of land, too. Thank you.
Are there any more special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Hess will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We have House Bill 489, Labor Relations Between School Boards and Employees, and House Bill 548, Education of Exceptional Children.
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet today at 1:15 to take up the following bills: Senate Bill 144, Cost of Doing Business with the State; House Bill 389, Orientation Program for Legislators; House Bill 577, Supplemental Appropriation for the Arctic Winter Games; House Bill 699, Reimbursement of Legislators for Travel Expenses During the Session; House Bill 373, Tax Deduction for Child Adoption; House Bills 716 and 717, which are Supplemental Appropriations to the University of Alaska; and the House resolution that relates to the spending limitation. It does not have a number on it because it's not been introduced yet.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, this afternoon at 1:15, House State Affairs will be taking up House Bill 622, appropriation to the Anchorage North-South Runway, and House Bill 488, redefining economic disaster areas. Mr. Speaker, tonight at 7 p.m., House State Affairs Committee will undertake the markup of all of the 4 pieces of legislation dealing with temporary state employees.
Representative Osterbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today, House Resource Committee will meet at 1:30, taking up House Bill 563, Pipeline Connection Interchange Facilities; Committee substitute for House Bill 573, Amending Commercial Fishing Loan Act; House Bill 624, Watercraft Fuel Tax; House Bill 552, Appropriation to Steering Council on State Lands; House Joint Resolution 53, Reimbursing Advisory for Fishery Negotiations.
Representative Rudd.
Regional Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 9. We will continue our review of the preliminary draft of the guidelines and standards for the Coastal Management Program. Excuse me, Mr. Speaker, I misspoke myself. We're meeting at 8:30 tomorrow morning instead of 9.
Representative McKinnon.
The Commerce Committee will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning to continue our work on House Bill 594, No-Fault Auto Insurance.
The further announcements? Further business to come before the House. Representative Miller.
Speaker, a couple of announcements. As is noted on the calendar today, the Juno Audubon Society will have a slide presentation that might be of more than even usual interest to members of the legislature. Joel Bennett, as you'll recall, used to be a full-time attorney on our staff. Now he works for us during the session. He's been doing a lot of filming in recent years and did quite a thing on the caribou migration. And he'll show some slides tonight in regards to the filming activities he took, the result of which is going to be a one-hour NBC presentation later on this year. I've been asked to announce by our good friends of the Oil and Gas Association that the program of the Juneau Chamber of Commerce today will feature a slide presentation by the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. The state petroleum taxation policy as it relates to resource development will follow the presentation, and the Chamber, of course, meets in the Gold Room of the Baranoff at 12 noon. We have a number of individuals who need to be excused from the call because of traveling committees tomorrow. I'll ask unanimous consent that the following members be excused from the call of the House on February 3rd. They are Representative Schaefer, Haugen, Gardner, Hayes, although he has already been excused, Meekins, Miles, and Greening. And I'll ask for Representative Greening that he be excused on the 6th as well.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted, and the members will be excused on the dates indicated.
And, Mr. Speaker, Representative Bradley would like to be excused from the session on Friday as well. I'll ask unanimous consent for his excuse.
Hearing no objection, the member will be excused on the date indicated.
Yeah, I suspect the minority leader wants to announce something about the Republicans.
Representative Urien. Is there further business to come before the House? House, please stand it. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I've also been reminded by a member of the Judiciary Committee that the Judiciary Committee will be meeting with the Senate Judiciary Committee on the criminal code beginning at 1 o'clock in the Governor's Conference Room. If there's no further announcements, Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that we stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.